From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Psalm number 30 and verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Christian, if thou art in a night of trial, think of the morrow. Cheer up thy heart with the thought of the coming of thy Lord. Be patient, for lo, he comes with clouds descending. Be patient, the husbandman waits until he reaps his harvest. Be patient, for you know who has said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. If you are never so wretched now, remember, a few more rolling suns at most will land thee on fair Canaan's coast. Thy head may be crowned with thorny troubles now, but it shall wear a starry crown ere long. Thy hand may be filled with cares, it shall sweep the strings of the harp of heaven soon. Thy garments may be soiled with dust now, they shall be white by and by. Wait a little longer. Ah, how despicable our troubles and trials will seem when we look back upon them. Looking at them here in the prospect, they seem immense. But when we get to heaven, we shall then with transporting joys recount the labors of our feet. Our trials will then seem light and momentary afflictions. Let us go on boldly. If the night be never so dark, the morning cometh, which is more than they can say who are shut up in the darkness of hell. Do you know what it is thus to live on the future, to live on expectation, to antedate heaven? Happy believer, to have so sure, so comforting a hope. It may be all dark now, but it will soon be light. It may be all trial now, but it will soon be all happiness. What matters it though weeping may endure for a night, when joy cometh in the morning?
I trust in
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Basic Christianity. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find the apostle thanking God for certain characteristics of the Colossian believers. He mentions their faith in Christ Jesus, the love which they had to all the saints, and the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. Three particular words stand out in these verses: faith, love, and hope. These represent the foundational truths of true Christianity. The starting point is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith which grows as we commune with Christ in His Word and through prayer.
I get a wee bit worried when all these PhDs and all the rest of it lose their logic. They foist themselves as scholars on an unsuspecting world, and then they throw logic out the window. You either believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. And this learned cleric told us, I actually happen to believe the virgin birth. He made it sound like it was a compliment to God that he believed it. But it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. After all, there are only two gospels that tell about the virgin birth. Well, Mark doesn't tell us about any birth. So why is that introduced? It's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I wonder what on earth Hebrews 10 means then when it says, a body thou hast prepared me. I wonder what it means then when Paul says to the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law. As if there were something miraculous in that. This cleric said, the church, now we come to Presbyterian popery. The church, in its wisdom, has never said that you must believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. Who ever gave the church the right to say anything about what you had to believe to be a Christian? It's not the church, it's the Bible. Let me tell you, of course, he's not the only one. Some years ago, Billy Graham made exactly the same kind of statement. He believed in the virgin birth, but it doesn't really matter. If you don't believe it, you can still be a Christian. So Jesus Christ can be a bastard son. That's the real implication. He was either virgin born or a bastard son, according to which, by Old Testament law, he had no right even to enter in to the temple of God. Doesn't matter. What are we talking about? There are things that matter. And if one verse in the Bible clearly states a truth, I don't believe there's any fundamental of the faith that is dependent on one verse in the Bible. But if even one verse in the Bible makes a statement clearly and plainly, I am bound to believe it. I don't come to this book as a critic of the book. I come to this book to be criticized by the book. I am not the judge of the book. The book is the judge of me. I am not the establisher of truth. I am here to find what God has established as truth. I could go down the line in many other great doctrines. Anytime anybody adds works to grace, they're subverting Christianity. When they make works in any way, to any degree, at any level, pre-conversion, at conversion, or post-conversion, a means of contributing to a man's acceptance with God, that is a departure from the gospel. It's not Christian. Anybody who thinks he's saved by a mixture of grace and works is a Galatian, not a Christian. And Paul puts his condemnation in such, not his approbation. I could go on down the line about the precious blood of the redeeming death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the propitiation made in that blood, the expiation of our guilt. These are things that are central to the gospel. This faith is marked by soundness of belief. It is a believing in a particular body of revealed truth. This faith always has Christ for its object. Watch this very carefully. It is faith in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. That is, it focuses upon His person, upon His work, and upon His offices. Now, you'll notice how kind I am to you all this morning. I'm letting you out before Christmas, because those are three little statements, but those are three huge points. You could hang a whole series of sermons in every one of them. Faith focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, deity and humanity without any admixture, without adding to or taking from His eternal deity, which is an impossibility, without humanizing His deity or deifying His humanity. Two distinct natures in one perfect and indivisible person forever. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, possessed of all the attributes of deity, and yet as man possessed of all the attributes of humanity. Sinless, spotless, pure, and holy. The person of Christ. The work of Christ. The offices, prophet, priest, and king, making Him our mediator. Faith focuses upon Christ, and for acceptance with God and access to God, faith knows no merit but Christ. How often have we sung the words, I have no other argument, I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Faith is in Him. But look again at that little phrase. This faith is in Him. Just change the emphasis. In other words, it rests in Him. It trusts everything to Him. It commits everything to His merit, because Christ is the object of true saving faith. This faith is marked by steadfastness of profession. Very clearly, the Colossians professed their faith because we read that Paul heard of this. They were professing it by word and by life. And clearly, not only did they profess it, but they were holding on to it despite some vicious attacks and despite some specious heresies that were being pushed their way. And again, I come back to this. This is clear from how Paul addressed the heresies and the heretics. All he had to do to deal with the problems in Colossae was to show them that those who were afflicting them, opposing Epaphras, were not holding to Christ the head. And I honestly believe that he did that because once he did so, once these people could see these Judaizers, far from being advanced Christians as they want us to believe, they're not holding to Christ the head. As soon as they saw that, that was enough to brand them as heretics, henceforth to be repudiated. Why? Because these people had a grip of the gospel and they were not going to move from it. God, make us a people like that. And then this faith expressed these believers' union and communion with Christ. Again, come back to the little phrase, their faith was in Christ Jesus. Not only was it in Him because it rested on Him, but this term goes further than the object. to speak of the sphere in which faith was exercised. Faith is always exercised in Christ. What does that mean? In Christ means union. Faith is always exercised in union with Christ. Faith is also exercised in Christ in that it's exercised in communion with Christ. And this is a very important aspect of true faith. You see, it is not any kind of make-believe. It's very hard to get this over. And again, the subject's too big to deal with just with a passing reference or two. I've dealt with this a little in the past. We are all, unfortunately, afflicted in our thinking to some extent. Whether we realize it or not, we're afflicted with the follies and the falseness of the definition of faith that has been popularized by charismaniacs. I think that's a good term for them too. Where faith becomes a sort of, if you make yourself believe it, if you want it badly enough, that's faith. And it's not. There are people telling themselves that they're exercising faith quite apart from the Bible, quite apart from any conviction of the Spirit in their heart. And it is purely and simply their desire. And any time your desire enters into any issue, you've got to be very careful, because it's like putting a particular pair of lenses in front of your eyes. Whatever the lens, it's going to dictate how you're going to see things. Got to be very careful here. Faith is a response, basically, to a divine revelation. Always. It's a response to a divine revelation. And where there's no such revelation, you've got to tread very carefully. Not only is it a response to a divine revelation, but faith is born out of our being in Christ. And faith grows out of our communion with Christ. Paul speaks in chapter 2 and verse 12, if you cross-reference it, to the faith, or of the faith of the operation of God. It's a very difficult little phrase. It may mean faith in his operation, or it may mean faith that is produced by the operation of God. I think that the latter is certainly Paul's meaning in Ephesians 1, which is more or less parallel expression, where he says, I pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How do we believe? We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Faith is produced by the operation of God. In union with Christ, in communion with Christ. That's why it is important for Christians to spend time in the Word and in prayer, getting alone with the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.